01419511025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. The League Cup final is just 4 days away, but the Premiership takes centre stage tonight with Rangers at Aberdeen. Celtic have home comforts against Hamilton Accies as they look to stay on top, and St Mirren against Motherwell, the other standout fixture with a full card in the top flight. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi.
Yeah, a brilliant card, Gordon, as you said. The game of the night undoubtedly at Pittodrie, Aberdeen against Rangers at Celtic Park. Celtic will want to keep a hold of their place at the top of the league and goal difference. St Mirren looking to find points. Tough game against Motherwell. St Johnstone as well at the bottom, trying to survive. Hearts 2, big game at home to Livingston with a new manager set to come in. And then 5 sleeps to go to the cup final on Sunday, the first piece of silverware. The madness is just one sleep away into the build up for that.
Jim Duffy, it's a big night for the one game at a time brigade, because try telling that to Stephen Gerrard or Neil Lennon if Alfredo Morelos goes down injured or if someone gets a straight red card. It's all well and good saying the Premiership takes centre stage, and it does. But you can't help but keep looking ahead.
Yeah, of course. I mean, listen, you know, with both teams neck and neck, one goal in it, it's at the top. They're both fanning all cylinders. You know, you look forward to the games if you're players. But you know, you wouldn't be, it wouldn't be natural if you couldn't have won, you know, one eye towards the cup final on Sunday. You know, I mean, absolutely. I think Celtic, on paper, you know, could maybe have the game wrapped up earlier, in which case as they maybe would they flip the squad a little bit as well, and perhaps if they don't, Neil Lennon said he's going to go strong. But if they get in a good position, they could then make changes. Whereas I think obviously Rangers going up to Pittodrie, listen, a fantastic result last time at Ibrox was at 5-0, but going up to Pittodrie is generally a very competitive match, so you would think Rangers will have more questions asked of them this evening. So yeah, we're looking forward to a great night tonight, and a lot of matches, as you said, both ends of the table.
What a night we have in store. Who should play? Who should be wrapped in cotton wool? How do you see tonight going? How does that feed into the bigger picture of what's at stake this week? You tell us on the phones, 01419511025, and on Twitter at ClydeSSB. Aberdeen Rangers, Celtic Hamilton, Hearts Livingston, Kilmarnock St Johnstone, Ross County Hibs, and St Mirren Motherwell. So every single team involved. If you're a fan of the top flight, you must have something on your mind. Let's hear it. 01419511025. Let's start going around some of the grounds ahead of the quarter to eight kickoffs. Dave Galloway is at Aberdeen against Rangers.
Well, Rangers come here, Gordon, brim full of confidence, neck and neck with Celtic at the top of the table and unbeaten in 11 games in all competitions, 8 of them wins. But the Aberdeen fans, they certainly don't appear to be too up for this one. We're expecting a crowd of around just 16,000, and that's over 4,000 short of a full house. Maybe that tells you something.
Interesting that Dave brings us that, Mark Guidi. I don't know if there is some sort of apathy amongst the Aberdeen fans, but this fixture is always one of the standouts on our card. So particularly like Pittodrie, you'll have seen many of them. What is it about this fixture that makes it stand out for you?
I mean, you look just for example at last season, the amount of red cards, controversy. You know, you looked at the constant battles with Alfredo Morelos and Scott McKenna. They then look at the Ryan Jack factor as well, going back to his old club being a dominant force in the middle of the park for Rangers, and just an actual rivalry that's, you know, boiled over for more than the best part of 40 years, and now that's continued. You speak to Stephen Gerrard and he'll tell you that Aberdeen Razor game against Rangers like no other. Whether that's true or not, Derek McInnes would dispute that. Derek McInnes factor as well, who Rangers wanted as a manager 2 years ago, and he said no to them. So there's all different elements to it, but I think a Wednesday night under the floodlights, live on the telly, Rangers top of the table, or joint top of the table, Aberdeen I think with a wee bit to prove this season against Rangers. You see, they've shown a wee bit more grit and determination. I think it's got the makings of an absolute belter, and could be a busy one for the referee.
Yeah, I mean, I think 16,000 is a good crowd, I have to be honest with you. You know, I know what we're saying, because you know, but it's not, it's a stage of the season where for Aberdeen, they're just trying to find real consistency. But for Rangers, they'll take up, you know, a good, their ticket sales will be sold out. But in terms of the Aberdeen supporters, I still think it's a healthy crowd. And as Mark said, in a Wednesday night under floodlights, TV, I think it'll be a terrific atmosphere. But Aberdeen have to improve against the old firm. You know, they've lost convincingly. But I suppose in the back of their minds, they saw those two terrific victories in the cups last year, and that tells you that they're capable on their day of being very difficult to beat if they stay focused, stay concentrated, and their organisation is there. They're very good at set plays, and Rangers will just have to continue at the form they're on. If Rangers continue to play with the same flair and goal scoring threat they've got, then that should be good enough to want to get all 3 points. But it will be a difficult game.
Rangers fans, let's hear from you. Who should be wrapped in cotton wool tonight? Should anyone be wrapped in cotton wool tonight? Maybe not. Alfredo Morelos, any doubt that he plays tonight ahead of Sunday? I don't know who else comes into that bracket. Maybe a Stephen Davis, a Ryan Kent. Does anyone get protected tonight because of Sunday, or do they all play and you deal with that later? You tell us. 01419511025. Let's go to Celtic Park ahead of Celtic against Hamilton with Alison Conroy.
Well, there will be no Odson Edouard for Celtic tonight. Is he being wrapped in cotton wool, or is he struggling? He was back in full training yesterday, but Neil Lennon says he will not play against Hamilton tonight. Neither will Mohamed Ilianoussi, Johnny Hayes or Bolly Bolingoli, who are all back in full training as well. Livian Cham does come back and could start tonight. Celtic, 10 wins in a row in all competitions going into this match. Neil Lennon, of course, wouldn't talk about that cup final, but he will have those players all in his mind for Sunday. Hamilton Accies, their last win came back on the 28th of September, and on Saturday at Livingston, they had no shots on target, so it could be a tough night for Livingston here as Celtic look to stay top of the Scottish Premiership.
Yeah, Hamilton Accies, the visitors to Celtic Park. At Jim Duffy, I am fascinated about this Odson Edouard business. Hugh Keevans, as Hugh Keevans does, is convinced he will not make it on Sunday because he's analysed Neil Lennon's voice and he says he sounds downbeat about it. Gordon and Roger last night are convinced that Odson Edouard will play on Sunday. The only thing we know for sure is he won't play tonight.
Yeah, I mean, but if he's in full training and he gets another 3 or 4 days under his belt before the cup final, then I don't think there's any doubt that he would play if he comes through those with no reaction. But you know, listening to Neil Lennon, listen, it's, I don't think there's any nothing downbeat about Neil Lennon at all at this moment, and that's down to the form of his team. I mean, both domestically and in Europe, they're in top form, they're scoring goals for fun, they're playing some terrific football, and they're looking solid defensively as well. So even with you know, one of his top players missing, well, more than that, because Ilianoussi's been one of the top players recently as well, then you know, there's been no issues for Celtic. So I think he's very relaxed. And I'm not saying he won't be relaxed if there is an issue with Edouard, but I still think he'll be still relatively confident that he'll be available for the weekend.
He'll play. Odson Edouard will start the game.
Yeah.
Whether he finishes the game or not, we don't know, but he'll start the game. Even if he's only 70%, Odson Edouard will start the game because it's a one-off tie, and yes, I know it's not like they need to hold him back for Europe, for one, they're through in Europe. Yeah, they've got a couple of difficult fixtures in the league during the month of December, of course, but this is the first piece of silverware. You want to try and win it, you want to go for the quadruple treble. I know it's something that's not really mentioned, I think it's probably a step too far, but what you don't want to do if you're Celtic is give Rangers any encouragement. I mean, they've got plenty of encouragement so far this season, the way they've been playing and going neck and neck for the title, but you don't want to give them any encouragement by allowing Rangers to win on Sunday. So I'm 99% certain Edouard will start.
Asking Rangers fans if anyone should be wrapped in cotton wool tonight, the obvious one you look to is Morelos, but with the nature of this fixture, can you see it? Can you see it with him? Can you see it with anyone?
Oh, you can't wrap anybody in cotton wool tonight, Gordon. The only thing you do is if somebody, like an Edouard situation on the other side, if somebody's not, you know, 100% fit, I don't think you would risk anybody tonight. But anybody that's fit and wants to play, available for selection, Steven Gerrard must pick his strongest team tonight, and I'm certain that he will.
Yeah, I mean, we talked earlier on about the league possibly going down to goal difference, but so you can't risk losing points. You know, and these are the type of places that Rangers have to go and win. Pittodrie's one of the toughest venues. I mean, I was at the Celtic game up there a few weeks ago, and Celtic were 4-0 up at half time and absolutely hammered Aberdeen, and Aberdeen took a fair bit of criticism for it, and I think rightfully so, because they never laid a glove on Celtic that day, but they have improved since then. But this is their first real big test, I think, against Rangers. And you know, whether you know, Derek agrees with it or not, it seems to be that Aberdeen are a bit more competitive against Rangers than they are against Celtic. You know, listen, I don't know why that is. There is maybe a bit more of a rivalry there, as Mark mentioned, a lot of the situations that might stoke that kind of fire. I'm not quite sure why, but it does seem to be a little bit more of an edge at times.
Well, Jim and Mark are singing from the same hymn sheet, but what about you Rangers fans? Who would you pick tonight? Who would you not pick? Simple as that. 01419511025. Let's speak to Stevie first though. Stevie's a Celtic fan from Strathblane. Hi Stevie.
Hi, evening lads.
Hello, what's on your mind, Stevie?
Technical point, maybe nitpicking, Mark. Rangers are not joint top of the table. They are second with an inferior goal difference of one, which was enough to give them the championship in 2003. The Celtic had the opposite effect. However, I will give you, there is a credible challenge for the first time in 7 years, and I am loving it.
It is a small technical point. I don't think you would argue with it, Mark.
You can't argue if you want to go technically. Yeah, you're right. I'll say joint top, but I'm not going to argue with Stephen because I have no argument. I can't back it up. So I take his point. Pedantic as it is, I take your point, Stevie. And yet, I think you're right, and it's good to hear a Celtic supporter saying they're welcoming the challenge. It's great for Scottish football. Bigger picks as well, Stevie. Our game is looking for sponsorship too, and you know, something like this happening can only help the likes of Neil Doncaster go out and find sponsorship for the game. And for Rangers, it's about time they mounted a proper title challenge. They've certainly thrown enough money at it for Steven Gerrard, and even before him, Pedro Caixinha. And for Celtic, it's trying to keep going there. It's not, I don't think it's as easy as people think it is, trying to stay out in front all the time when there's people trying to hunt you down, and the success that they've had, 9 domestic trophies on the trot. So yes, it's brilliant for Scottish football, and I don't know about you, but I think the cup final on Sunday, I don't think it's going to let Scottish football down. I think it's going to be an absolute belter.
That could be extra time.
Aye, every chance, Stevie, every chance. It could go all the way to penalty kicks.
I want Rangers to be in the UEFA Cup as long as Celtic are in that UEFA Cup or Europa League, or whatever you call it. Because what you don't want is Rangers crashing out, Celtic going through, Celtic having to play on a Sunday, Rangers playing on a Saturday, Rangers beating Hamilton and, you know, St Mirren and people like that, 4-5-0, which they have been doing. And Celtic having to go to Tynecastle and Pittodrie and all that, and the pressure's on.
Yeah, Stevie, just refer to the competitions Europa League. You need to get that right. If you're talking about the UEFA Cup, we won't be sure what you're talking about.
It's a small pedantic point, Stevie. He's got you on your toes.
Europa League.
What about tonight, Stevie? And I suppose the bigger picture of this week as well. Would you do anything differently tonight with Sunday in mind? How do you view the bigger picture?
Well, I think, you know, Edward is crucial for us. I think he's a big game player, and I'm quite happy for him to be rested tonight as long as he's playing on Sunday. I don't know if Morelos will be playing tonight, whether it'll be Defoe. I don't know if the teams are out yet.
Not yet.
Is Defoe
still injured? Certainly, Morelos is due a goal against Celtic, isn't he? And if he can do it on Sunday, we'd be the darling, you know. I mean, he's well overdue, you know, and he is playing well, and he's calmed down his temper and all that, you know, and what to say, he's the man of the moment.
I don't know from a Celtic perspective, Jim, who, because the Edward one's sort of done. We know he won't play, but it will be interesting when that team comes out to see if, I don't know, if Neil Lennon decides to give Ryan Christie a spell or a James Forrest. Unlikely, because these guys tend to play. Callum McGregor tends to play. Scott Brown tends to play.
Well, we always think that he'll rest Scott Brown, and he never seems to do it, because, you know, that's just the way he's so important to the team. But you know, I think that, you know, Mikey Johnson going on the last couple of games has done very well, scored 2 goals. He looked very sharp, very bright, you know, up at Ross County when he came on. And again, he's a player. I don't think it weakens your team. It's just a different way of playing. So whether he plays in the wide area or whether he plays off the striker, again, Tom Rogic is maybe needing another game. He scored, but he wasn't his brilliant best at the weekend, so maybe needing a little bit more game time. So I could see a couple of players. I mean, I know it won't be long before we get the team, but I could see him making a few changes, but it'll still be a very strong Celtic team. I mean, I like Lewis Morgan, I have to say. I thought Lewis Morgan's movement and his link-up play was very good as a centre-forward, because I wasn't too sure. But, you know, and then obviously he's got Lee Griffiths needing game time, and you would imagine Celtic to dominate the ball tonight and create a host of chances. So is this a game tonight for Lee Griffiths?
Stevie, thank you very much. What about from a Rangers perspective? Reese is in Lark Hall. What are you thinking ahead of tonight, Reese?
Hi, Pano. I'm quite confident, to be honest. It's obviously a tough place to go. It's Pittodrie. Aberdeen always raised their game when they're playing us, but I think we've got enough to get it done. I don't think that we're in the position yet where we can rest players for this kind of game this Sunday. So I think Morelos, Kent, Davis, etc. will start. We'll just see who you think will start out in the right wing tonight and on Sunday as well. I think Jordan Jones isn't going to be fit. Obviously, not played in a while. I would start Arfield probably tonight, and then I think it would be between Arfield or Barker for Sunday. Mm.
Just, I'm curious why you ask, Reece, because the impression I get from Rangers fans like yourself is that still the one position they very much see as being up for grabs. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think so, because I'd say the rest of the team, the other 10 places would name themselves, to be honest, for Sunday. But out on the right, Arfield had played great the tail end of last season, but he's not going to hit the heights this season. I'm not a big fan of Ojo, to be fair. So I probably would go for Arfield or Barker. Then Greg Stewart, any time he's played really well and all. So I wouldn't be surprised if Stewart started tonight either.
Mm. Well, it's against his former club, and sometimes managers like to do that, throw them against their former clubs.
He did at Ibrox, didn't he? It was the first time we had really seen much of Greg Stewart.
Yeah, so, and sometimes they just get a wee bit of extra motivation to try and put in one over their old teammates, their old manager, even if they've had a good time at the club. You know, it's not always about how you've left the club. But I think that I think you're right. I think that it's always that one right. I think the last game, the Old Firm game, I think they were too narrow, Rangers, you know, where they played that kind of diamond in midfield, and it didn't work. Celtic took full advantage of that, and I think that getting into the game again at the weekend, Rangers will go back to the 4-3-3. So whether that'll be Ojo or whether that'll be Barker or whatever happens to be, but
who do you think's at number one out of them?
I think you might go with Ojo, Morelos and Kent as the front three on Sunday. But tonight, going up to Pittodrie, I think it might, as Reece said, I think Arfield may stay in the team, or he brings in, obviously, Stewart. And again, Avibo could come in, because he sometimes likes to flip Jack and Davis. So I think that one of those guys might miss out in the start, and then maybe Avibo come in again. So, listen, they've got those options. The back four has been pretty much solid, consistent over the last couple of months. I don't see that changing unless there's an injury.
One for me for Sunday, and Stevie, the Celtic supporter, mentioned that Gordon, which I think is pivotal to what's going to happen in the game, is that the new look, as I like to call him, Alfredo Morelos, the new
mild-mannered,
improved footballer, the whole package is improved unbelievably in the past 4 months. He didn't start against Celtic last time. And the key battle for me is going to be Morelos against Ayer and Julian. How that all unfolds, and that'll be key to the outcome of the game. Because if Morelos gets the better of the two of them, I can see Rangers winning the game. But for me, that is a fascinating battle and prospect on Sunday.
Reece and Larkhall, thank you very much for the call. Good question. Got the guys thinking. It's 01419511025. We're going to hear from Stephen Gerrard and Neil Lennon after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Road Accident Solicitors. The compensation you deserve when you've been sidelined. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Every single team in the Premiership in action. What a night for football under the lights. Might be a bit cold, so if you're heading out to a game, wrap up, but sit back and enjoy. Lots to look forward to. Andrew McFadden sent us a tweet at Clyde SSB. He hopes Morelos is rested tonight. He says Defoe can deal with tonight, no problem. Wrap Morelos up, ready for Sunday. Can't see there being too many other changes. Ian Fletcher says Rangers should wrap Morelos up if we go 2-0 up against Aberdeen. So a bit to be done there. And Ryder of 385s says, bit of a different shout, but I think Hylander should be rested tonight. He's been solid defensively and could be crucial at the weekend. 01419511025 on the phones. We're going to hear from Neil Lennon very soon. Let's hear from Stephen Gerrard. He's looking ahead to that trip to Pittodrie tonight.
There's too much football to be played to be writing anyone off. Aberdeen are a good team. They're capable of going on long runs, winning runs. I think they've shown that, certainly in my time being here. I know Derek very well. He'll fight all the way, and he'll get his players to fight for him to continue to finish as high as they can. So we won't be writing anyone off. We've got to thrive and enjoy and embrace the atmosphere at Pittodrie. The players have faced some real big atmospheres and challenges, if you think of Feyenoord and Legia Warsaw away, and we're obviously used to a big atmosphere at home as well, so I don't think any of my players will be shying away or intimidated by the Pittodrie atmosphere. For me, it's get your chest out and embrace it and really, really enjoy it.
Stephen Gerrard talking about it being too early to write Aberdeen off. If we're talking title race. I think a lot of people have probably written Aberdeen off.
What, Aberdeen for the title?
Is that unfair? Oh,
not well, look, in Stephen Gerrard's position, you can understand why he would say that in public, and he's not wanting to give Aberdeen players or their supporters any extra motivation. But in private, and I'm sure, you know, 99% of people at Aberdeen will say Aberdeen ain't going to win the league this season. It's between Celtic and Rangers, and I think we can all accept that.
100% Aberdeen fans and anybody. No, listen, it's between Celtic and Rangers. That's it. But Aberdeen can play a part in who decides where it goes. You know, where the title eventually goes. I mean, if, as I said, they can find their A game. But you know, Stephen Gerrard is right to say these things. Of course, he's going to be diplomatic, as Mark said. He's not going to say, "Oh, listen, this is a two-horse race," and you know, we write Aberdeen off. Mm. But he's right to just try and make sure that his team use the experience they've had, particularly in Europe. And I think the fact that both teams are vying neck and neck at the top has actually helped him in Europe as well, because there's a real challenge, a real intensity about every game, every point matters, every goal might matter. And I think that's got them up, that's kept that level really high. And when they went into Europe, they've continued that. So I actually think it's helped both clubs, both domestically and in Europe.
Geoffrey's a Rangers fan. What would you do with the team tonight, Geoffrey?
I would put Morelos on the bench and have to pull on from the start. And on Sunday, I would have Morelos on from the start, Defoe on the bench. And for next Thursday in Europe, I would keep the same team that they played in Feyenoord a week past.
Would you, Geoffrey, would you... I mean, I think we'd all accept that Morelos is the number one striker at Rangers. So by what you're saying, uh-huh, there, would you give up the 3 points tonight to win the cup on Sunday?
No, I would. That's quite a difficult question to answer.
Yeah, but if you, it strikes me as if you would otherwise you'd want to start your strongest team tonight.
Unless, well, Geoffrey thinks Defoe's enough.
Defoe is the next best. I mean, Morelos is going to be playing on Sunday, I would imagine, as well. And then he'll be playing in Europe. You've got to give him a rest somewhere. I would rest him tonight. Maybe have him on the bench and have Defoe a chance to play tonight. I mean, he's quite capable. He's just as capable as Morelos for scoring goals. Because it's quite a big week for Rangers coming up. And it's going to be very difficult for players to keep this kind of high intention up. I mean, you need to rest some players.
Well, there, Geoffrey. Morelos was rested against Hamilton a couple of weeks ago. You know, when they come on the last
few minutes. He just came back, didn't he? From...
You know, and then obviously he came back from playing for Colombia, and you know, they only put him on about the last 10 minutes, although he set up for Brian Kent to score. But it's one of those ones where he's been left out a couple of times, not left out as in drop, but you know, allowing the fact that Stephen Gerrard's decided to pick Defoe for one reason or another. So, and, you know, we're not even halfway through the season, and I just think that when you've got top players, we mentioned Scott Brown earlier, very rarely Callum McGregor, these type of guys, there are very, very important players to your
team. I mean,
he's
got 13 in his last 13, yeah. So it shows you the type of form he's on at the moment.
It's phenomenal. And I just think when players are hot like that, they're scoring so many goals, they're playing at the top of the level, they don't want left out.
Yeah,
they
be raging. He would be, Morelos would be raging with Stephen. You say, by the way, Alfredo, I'm going to start with Defoe tonight. Morelos would be raging. He doesn't want to sit on the bench.
Just out of curiosity, because it is obviously hypothetical, if this game was at Ibrox tonight, would that make Stephen Gerrard a bit more inclined to do Defoe? Is there something about Morelos' all action style that translates particularly well to a game like Pittodrie?
No, I think that you take the opposition in, and it's a very tough match. And again, as I said, traditionally against Rangers, it's even tougher. So therefore, I think he's got to play Morelos. I'm interested to see, but I think it's got to be the case, whether it be at Ibrox or whether it's at Pittodrie. If they're fortunate enough to have a two-goal advantage, yeah, of course. I think Rangers defensively would then think, well, we can see this game out, and they could make a change. But that's going to be tough to get to that stage. But if they manage that, fine. But I think when Morelos is playing as well as he's playing, he wants to keep adding his tally. He wants the golden boot. You know, he wants people to be talking about him. And I just think that, you know, you'd be a high risk to leave him out.
Okay, we can't be far away from team news at Pittodrie. We have Celtic's starting 11 and subs tonight, Alison Conroy.
Yeah, a couple of changes from that game up at Inverness at the weekend. Maurice Bauer comes into the starting 11, as does Nir Beaton and Olivier Ncham. So it will be Fraser Forster in goal, a back four of Bauer, Beaton, Ayer and Taylor. Then it will be Brown and Cham sitting with the three of Christie, Forrest and McGregor. And it will be Lewis Morgan up top for Celtic. So actually, yeah, Kyle McGregor as well. And your substitutes are Gordon, Frimpong, Julian, Rogic, Sinclair, Johnston and Griffiths.
Interesting. So in terms of players who've been rested, the obvious one is Julian.
Julian, yeah.
And Nir Beaton comes in there. Is Moritz Bauer playing tonight to give Frimpong a rest ahead of Sunday, or is Moritz Bauer playing tonight because he starts in front of Frimpong on Sunday?
I would say that Moritz Bauer plays tonight because Neil Lennon is maybe just not 100% sure yet between Bauer and Frimpong. Now, maybe at the moment he thinks, yeah, Frimpong at the moment would get the nod, but he's saying there's one or two wee things that I notice in his game that Rangers might be able to exploit. Let me have a wee look at Bauer. I would say Bauer is a more solid defender. Frimpong is more exciting going forward, but maybe lacks that wee bit. And bear in mind, the boy, what is 18 or 19 or something gone? So, you know, I don't think it would faze the boy getting in playing on Sunday, but I just think at times you are going to be in the back foot. And therefore, do you just want to make yourself that wee bit more solid? So I think you maybe just want to look at Bauer and think, maybe I might just edge towards Bauer. That's my guess.
And then, Jim, sorry, for the third game in a row, Lewis Morgan leads the line. So can we assume that if Odson Edward doesn't make it on Sunday, Lewis Morgan plays up?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, absolutely. I think I mentioned at the weekend there that I think he gets more game time. He gets better at it. He gets better understanding with the players, his movement, his link-up players. I liked it against Ross County. I thought he'd done well. Obviously scored in the European match and against Rennes. And I just think he looks very comfortable there, and I think he's enjoying getting regular first team football. Listen, the boy knows if Edward's fit, he goes on, but he's likely going to bench now. Bench is either he goes on the bench ahead of Griffiths or with Griffiths. But listen, you know, the Celtic, as I say, they've got the, you know, you look at that team, it's a very strong team, even though they've made the three changes.
Right, give us your thoughts to that Celtic team then, the likes of Moritz Bauer starting, Nir Beaton starting, Lewis Morgan continuing up front, Julian given a spell on the bench. We'll get the Aberdeen and Rangers teams very soon. Let's take a call from Paul in East Kilbride. What do you make of that team, Paul? What are you reading into it?
Hi guys, first time caller, sorry. The only one I'm really surprised about is Nir Beaton starting. I didn't see why they'd need to give Julian a rest, but I kind of thought the rest of the team would have been pretty much the same, and Bauer starting there at right back. So, yeah, I'm happy enough with that. But as I said, a bit surprised that Beaton's starting.
Same questions to you then, Paul. What's your interpretation? Is Moritz Bauer starting tonight to give Frimpong a rest for Sunday, or is Moritz Bauer starting tonight because he's going to play on Sunday at right back?
I think, like you guys were just saying there, I think they want to have a look at him. I don't know if the Old Firm match, the cup final, everything that goes with it, the pressure that might be on. As you said, he's a young guy. Every game looked brilliant, to be fair, and he looks like he's enjoying himself. But it's going to be a different atmosphere in Hampden on Sunday, so I don't know if maybe they want to have Bauer in there instead. So that's what I was kind of thinking.
Jim, with no disrespect to Hamilton, is a home match against Hamilton Accies the time to find out more about Moritz Bauer?
No, not from a defensive point of view. Hamilton will do their job as Brian Rice will always do. I mean, they made it difficult for both Old Firm game. When they're at Hamilton, I think it's much easier. The people don't enjoy playing there at times. But no, I mean, he's going to dominate the ball. I just think it's one of these ones where it's a good opportunity to give him game time. And then he'll decide who's the best. I mean, the Kent Frimpong, you know,
would be
a fantastic, you know, competition there. You know, and see how that works out, because as we said, Frimpong's been absolutely electric, but he still has to work on the issues defensively. He had one or two little moments up at Ross County, and he got a little bit, you know, frustrated at times. One or two wee errors crept in. And I think that's just part of his development. But whether you want to go for the experience or not at the weekend. But Beaton coming in, Julian did get a knock later on in the game, and he was kind of, you know, holding just below his ribs and kind of, so again, he might just have a little strain and he's thinking, beat on again, getting on the ball for the goalkeeper. He'll spray the passes all over the place. You would imagine Hamilton will play 4-5-1, so they won't have too many defensive issues to go with.
And Paul, are you happy enough to see Lewis Morgan continuing up front?
Yes, it's working, so may as well let him go there. Obviously, there's obviously something not missing with Griffiths just now, or he would be in there. So I said he's doing well, he looked comfortable. So yeah, obviously hoping Edwards back for Sunday because he's obviously the big game player. But I'm happy enough, I'm sure he'll be fine tonight.
Good man, that was Paul, a Celtic fan from East Kilbride, giving us his reaction to the team news there from Celtic. Let's go back to Alison to get the Hamilton Accies team. We've got a Rangers and Aberdeen starting 11 as well, but Alison, round things off from the East End.
Yep, I have just got the Hamilton starting 11 here, so it will be Southwood, McGowan, McMahon, Collar, Miller, Gogic, Moyo, Easton, Martin, Stubbs and Smith. The bench for Accies tonight: Fawn, Williams, Hunt, Oakley, Cunningham, Beck, Hamilton and Okpo.
Now, we do have breaking team news from Pittodrie. Aberdeen against Rangers. The big questions: will Alfredo Morelos start? Will Ryan Kent start? Who would play wide right? Dave Galloway has the answers for us, Dave.
Yeah, Morelos and Kent do start. I can tell you the Rangers starting 11, Gordon, is McGregor, Tavernier, Hillander, Goldson, Flanagan, Jack, Davis, Arfield, Aribo, Kent and Morelos. The subs: Fodringham, Katic, Halliday, Kamara, Ojo, Stewart and Defoe. The Aberdeen team, an interesting lineup as well. No Niall McGinn. For them, it's Lewis, Logan, Taylor, McKenna, Considine, Viner, Lee, Ferguson, Gallagher, Wilson and Cosgrove. Substitutes for the Dons: Cherney, Devlin, Campbell, McLennan, Anderson, Hedges and Main.
Very interesting. So if you're looking at who's been rested from Rangers, it's actually Barisic and Kamara. Mm-hmm. Not the ones that you perhaps would have expected.
No, but again, I think Barisic has been really solid for Rangers. He's chipped in a couple of goals. He now looks more comfortable playing for Rangers, you know, with the expectation level. But again, maybe just as I mentioned with the Frimpong-Bauer thing, maybe Stephen Gerrard still has a wee niggle about him defensively, and maybe thinks that Flanagan, he just wants to have another look at Flanagan to see how he copes. But I think Barisic gives you better balance as well. But it depends who he would want to play in the left wing in Sunday. So I'm not sure about that one. If Barisic has been rested, it might be a look at giving Flanagan a game with a view to starting him on Sunday.
Morelos is in, as we, well, you two certainly expected. Interestingly, Jim, up against Ash Taylor, who comes back into the Aberdeen team for the first time since the 25th of July. That's quite a task for him to come back in and go up against Morelos.
Yeah, Taylor's a big, powerful, strong player. You know, I mean, he's obviously, again, as I've mentioned, Aberdeen are normally very good at set plays. They've got a lot of variation, and Taylor can be instrumental in that. But in terms of up against someone like Morelos, he is very strong. And, you know, if you've got him alongside McKenna, two really powerful players there. So Morelos, as we know, is a powerhouse himself. But against these two guys, even Morelos will have his work cut out to out-muscle him. But listen, he's added different levels to his game. He's not just about backing into players now and getting players getting tight to him. His movement, as I said, and cleverness in the box has been terrific.
Okay, get your reaction into those teams then. 01419511025. I'm going to give you the St Mirren against Motherwell teams in just a moment or two, but first let me tell you about this.
Clyde One's Cash for Kids Mission Christmas, in partnership with Wholesale Domestic Bathrooms Hillington, proud to support Cash for Kids.
If for some reason you've not heard this week, listen carefully and act quickly, because this is an incredible prize for you to win. And what's even better, it's the ultimate win-win. You can make a difference to local children in Glasgow and the West at the very same time. We're giving you and a friend the chance to win a VIP experience to the FA Cup final at Wembley in May next year. It's quite the plan for the weekend. On the Friday, you kickstart your day with a champagne breakfast at 29. You then fly to London. Two nights accommodation in a five-star hotel in London's West End. Two tickets to the FA Cup final on the Saturday. And then two return flights to Glasgow on the Sunday. What a weekend that'll be. Now, all you have to do for your chance to win the road to Wembley is this. Text FINAL to 84901. You might as well just do it now. Don't hang about. Text FINAL to 84901 before 6:15 on Saturday. The test costs your standard network rate plus a voluntary £5 donation, and every single penny of that £5 goes to Cash for Kids to support disadvantaged children in Glasgow and the West. So like I say, it really is a win-win. You're doing your bit for a good charity, and you could win that incredible prize as well. For full details plus the T's and C's, go to Clyde1.com. Lines close at 5:45 on Saturday. We'll also pick our winner on that show on Saturday. We're doing the annual sports auction with your chance to bid on some money can't buy prizes. We should say a massive, massive thank you to James Mortimer for donating that prize. It's an absolute cracker. Get in nice and early. Text final to 84901.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, the league leader for compensation. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Mark Guidi and Jim Duffy here with me, Gordon Duncan. We are 1 hour away from kickoff in the six fixtures in the Premiership tonight. I'd imagine this is peak time for getting in the car if you're going to St Mirren against Motherwell. Relatively close compared to some of the fixtures tonight, so if you're on your way to the game, why not give us a call? Let us know what you're expecting in Paisley. I'll give you the teams in just a second. We are on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Matthew is an Aberdeen fan, and he says the Aberdeen team is a disgrace, set up to defend. Only one problem with that: we can't defend. A horsing is on the cards, and if we lose heavily, McInnes should be shown the door. Nothing like a good bit of pre-match optimism to get you looking forward to the game.
That is nothing like a pre-match optimism. Listen, I think that Aberdeen, you have to be realistic. They maybe not quite get the quality, and particularly in the middle of the pitch, that they had a couple of years ago. Obviously, their captain Graham Shinney was one that left. There's a number of players went away over recent years. We've known that. And they're a different side, and they're an evolving side. And I think if the manager believes that maybe they don't have the firepower to go toe-to-toe with Rangers, then, make sure you're organised and disciplined and hard to beat. And that's what they're going to be tonight, or they're going to try and be.
Copper Pot is on. He says, I hope SG is only resting Barisic for Sunday. If we want our best team out, every position should be played by the natural player, not right backs at left back. We want our left back swinging balls in from on the run. It's been working well for Rangers recently. You'd have to assume it is just a rest. In Paisley then, we've got St Mirren against Muddle. Fantastic game to look forward to. I'm going to head along after the show. St Mirren going with Kladke in goal, a back four of McGinn, McKenzie, McLaughlin and Waters, a midfield three of the other McGinn, Stephen McGinn the captain, Ryan Flynn and Tony Ondrew, with Mullen and McGuinness providing support for Jonathan Obika up front. Dormus, McAllister, Morias, Linus, Cook, Henderson and McPherson on the bench. As for Motherwell, a couple of changes from their weekend victory. Gillespie continues in goal, a back four of Liam Grimshaw, Declan Gallagher, Bevis Mugabe and Jake Carroll, Liam Donnelly, Paul Worth and Campbell, the midfield three, Hilton, Scott and Cole up front. So Carson, Tate, Long, Seedorf, Mazinga, Maguire and O'Hara on the bench for Stephen Robinson. What are you thinking ahead of that one?
Well, I think that St Mirren have got to try and find a way to score goals from, Jim Goodwin has been saying that they've been playing well. They deserve better than the last couple of results, narrow defeats to Hibs a couple of weeks ago and then at the weekend. And he believes that they're playing well, but listen, that's always the concern. If you're playing well and you're not getting the results, there come a time you're not going to play well. So I think they have to try and find a wee tweak to it to try and get more threat on the goal. Motherwell's, are terrific going forward. Again, young James Scott come in tonight and a great prospect as well. And they've got the luxury of the top end of the pitch actually being very healthy and also scoring goals from midfield.
I mean, Mark, it'd be interesting to see if there is a tweak to try and get St Mirren more goals. I read the personnel. It could well be that Mullen and Obika play together up front as a two. It might be a sort of 4-3-3 to try and match Motherwell. So potential is there.
Yeah, it could be 4-2-3-1 as well. Just McGinn and Flynn just sitting as two natural holders. Another four going for it up top. But when you're given the chance to equalise at Pittodrie with a penalty kick, you've got to go and score it. And that's it. So right. So they are creating chances, but what chance has the manager got when guys can't stick away a penalty kick? Particularly somebody like Tony Andrew, who's one of the more experienced players with a new signing in the summer. I was surprised he missed it. Every save for a penalty kick is a good save, but it was a weak penalty. Joe Lewis,
should he have been on to save it though?
It could have been a red. Yep, it could have very easily have been.
And if Mark Guidi's saying that as a member of the goalies union, it's a stick on. It's an absolute certainty.
It could have been a red. But I think tonight, having watched Motherwell on Saturday, very impressed with them, albeit St Johnstone were very disappointing. But I think that's a belter at Paisley tonight.
Yeah, if you're on your way to the game, why not give us a call? 01419511025. Martin is a Rangers fan from Falkirk. Now, Martin, when you initially called in, you were on to say that you believed Rangers can win without Morelos, but we now know that he's starting. So what are you thinking ahead of tonight's game?
As much as I believe that Rangers can win without Morelos, my initial point was wanting to speak to Mark Greedy about his comments a few calls ago. I agree with him to a certain extent about Morelos playing, especially tonight, because I believe that Morelos is more physical than Defoe, and I think you're going to have a bit of physicality up front, and I believe that's why he should start tonight. But to suggest, Mark, that you said to a call a few calls ago that we'd rather have 3 points or Morelos playing the cup final, I think it's a bit disrespectful to Jermaine Defoe to suggest that if Morelos is not playing, then we almost automatically forfeit 3 points. I mean, no. We've got potentially the two best strikers in the league playing for us. Defoe, an absolutely brilliant striker, experienced. And to suggest that if Morelos gets dropped, then we sort of automatically drop 3 points is a bit disrespectful, I think.
No, I wasn't meaning it that way, Martin. You've picked me up wrong. I was just throwing a hypothetical question out there just to see what Jeffrey's answer was going to be. My question was, would you forfeit 3 points tonight to win the cup on Sunday? And I'd ask you the same question. But I did not mean that because if Morelos doesn't play, that Rangers automatically are giving up on 3 points. Of course, that's not the case. And I don't think that Jermaine Defoe, as much as I think Morelos is a top striker at the club, you know, bringing in Jermaine Defoe doesn't significantly weaken the team. But the fact that Morelos plays tonight backs up my point. But yeah, I was just being thrown it out there to Jeffrey to see what his reaction was. But in no way did I say that if Morelos doesn't start, Rangers are giving up the 3 points. I didn't say that at all, Martin.
Okay, I apologise for that.
But no, you don't need to apologise. I'm just explaining that. I can see why you've maybe picked up that way. You don't need to apologise, but I'm just explaining. I was throwing it out there just to see what Jeffrey would think. And I'd ask you the same. What would you? It's not being cheeky by asking. Just say, what would you give up tonight? Would you give up 3 points to win the cup on Sunday, or do you think the be all and end all is just winning the league, and you've got to keep winning games such as tonight?
Of course, the be-all and end-all of the league. I personally couldn't care about any other competition that we are part of. The league, for me, is the most important thing. And as much as I agree that Morelos should play, probably for different reasons, because I think we need more physicality up front. What I said, the caller that you'd mentioned suggested that he would rest Morelos, and you kind of disagreed with him. I don't think I should be doing that, almost suggesting that he was wrong in terms of what he said. And I'm just saying Defoe is a fantastic backup striker to have, especially, I mean, I think he's what? Is he not the second top scorer in the league just now?
I think he is, yeah.
Yeah, he is, yeah. Martin, but, you know, the last game, Old Firm game, I think the vast, vast majority of Rangers fans were stunned when he got the nod ahead of Alfredo Morelos. And I think that that tells you, I think since then, that when you know, the if you want to say I had a poll, I think the Rangers fans would be overwhelming saying, listen, this guy's got to play when he's fit, because he's absolutely superb. Jermaine Defoe's a fantastic option to have. I'm not maybe too, you know, agree with you in terms of whether the physicality tonight, because even Morelos, I said, I'll be up against it and against these two big guys. Defoe's, again, his movement, his cleverness, his intelligence, and his finishing is terrific. But I think these are the type of games that you've got to play your top man, and Alfredo Morelos is Rangers' top man.
Martin, Alfredo Morelos has been getting so much praise, and rightly so, for the improvement in his disciplinary record. It was highlighted more than anything else in the games against Aberdeen last season, probably at Pittodrie as well. Is this the biggest test he'll have had of his new and improved disciplinary record?
I think so, yeah, but I think he'll pass it with flying colours. His temperament's been tested quite often this season outside of Aberdeen, and he seems to have coped very well with it. I don't see any reason why tonight should be a worry for Rangers fans or Morelos. I think he'll coast through that game, and I reckon he'll score 2 goals.
Good man, that's Martin in Falkirk. John Beaton's the ref at Pittodrie, if you're interested. I don't think we gave you that information a bit earlier on. I think that takes us up nicely to this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It is Beat the Pundit time. Your chance to win a signed ball if you've got the superior quizzing knowledge over Mark Guidi or Jim Duffy. If you want to take part tonight, you need to call quickly, 01419511025. The lines close when the news starts at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. The form team for compensation for more than 40 years. Talk to Thompsons.com.
Mark Guidi and Jim Duffy here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. A full fixture card, plenty to look forward to over the coming hours. Aberdeen against Rangers, Celtic against Hamilton, St Mirren Motherwell, Hearts Livy, Kelly St Johnston and Ross County Hibs. It is an absolute cracker. I think we will all agree in that one. We will continue the build up as soon as we do this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It is Beat the Pundit time. Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi are ready. They're standing by. One of them will take on Martin from Thornley Bank. How are you tonight, Martin?
Good evening, guys. How are you?
Not too bad at all, thank you. Now, I'm not for a second suggesting that Mark Guidi or Jim Duffy are a soft touch, but last night the poor contestant came on, got five right, and was still hammered by Roger Hanna. So maybe these two will go a bit easier on you tonight. I'll see what I can do. I'm going to toss the coin. Martin, if it's heads, you take on Mark Guidi, and if it's tails, it will be Jim Duffy. And it's heads. Mark Guidi against Martin from Thornley Bank. So I'm going to give Mark Guidi a bit of Clyde 2 in his ear, and that way he cannot hear us anymore. Martin, you've got 30 seconds head to head with Mark. You can pass. Here is your chance to beat the pundit. You ready?
Thank you. Yes, let's go.
What are the two main colours of Morton's home kit?
Blue and white.
Who does St Mirren face this evening?
Pass.
Who is the current manager of Everton?
Silver.
Which Scottish side are famed for the hedge alongside their pitch?
Pass.
How many FA Cups did Steven Gerrard win as a player?
Three.
Which player holds the record for most expensive world transfer?
Ronaldo.
Who was the Livingston manager before Gary Holt?
Pass.
Okay, let's bring Mark Guidi back. Mark, can you hear us?
Yeah, got you going.
Great, same set of questions to you. What was that, sorry?
There was a couple of them I was manager of.
Oh, that's true, I'm glad you avoided them. Right, you ready, Mark?
Yeah, shall we?
What are the two main colours of Morton's home kit?
Blue and white.
Who do St Mirren face this evening?
Motherwell.
Who is the current manager of Everton?
Marco Silva.
Which Scottish side are famed for having a hedge alongside their pitch?
Breaking.
How many FA Cups did Steven Gerrard win as a player?
Three.
Which player holds the record for the most expensive world transfer?
Would that pass?
Who was the Livingston manager before Gary Holt?
It was Kenny Miller.
And which side is currently top of Spain's La Liga?
Barcelona.
Okay, Martin, he got through one more question than you. Do you think it was costly?
Yeah, I think he's got one or two a bit more than me.
Let's find out. What are the main two colours of Morton's home kit? It was an easy one, but I'm glad Jim Duffy avoided it anyway. Blue and white, you both got it. Well done. Who does St Mirren face this evening? It is Motherwell Martin. So Mark Guidi moves 2-1 in front. Who's the current manager of Everton? Marco Silva. You both knew that. 3-2 to Mark Guidi. So it's a close one at this stage. Which Scottish side are famed for the hedge alongside their pitch? It is Brechin, as you well know, Jim, as Mark Wilson well knows. How many FA Cups did Steven Gerrard win as a player? You both went three. It's actually two. So after that, we're looking at 4-2 for Mark Guidi at the moment. Which player holds the record for the most expensive transfer of all time?
Neymar.
It is Neymar. The Livingston manager before Gary Holt was Kenny Miller. Did you see that, did you?
Yeah,
oh, you got that one as well.
Yeah.
Oh, he's home and hosed then, Martin. He's miles ahead. Which side are top of La Liga? It is Barcelona. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 for Mark Guidi. And a 2 for you, Martin, in Thornley Bank. Hard lines.
Well done, Mark. Good.
Unlucky, man. Well done. Good effort.
Good man, Martin. Give it a bash some other time. Please beat the pundit back tomorrow night at the same time, just around 7 o'clock. That was a good contest. Well done. The questions have been doable this week, I must say. They've been doable. We'll see how you fare on the teaser a bit later on, though. Right, we're trying to whiz through as many of tonight's fixtures as we can. They're all important in their own right. The one between Hearts and Livingston, though, has that subplot, the managerial subplot. It certainly looks like, I've said this before, but it certainly looks like it will be Austin McPhee's last game in charge. And we've actually been speaking to Anne Budge, who was talking about the time frame and how long it's taking as they try and close in on Daniel Stendel.
I can't really add anything that I think hasn't already been in the media. Not that everything that's been in the media is accurate, but it's just a tortuous process, to be frank, trying to ensure that all of the various contractual sides are tied up, partly because of the situation when he left Barnsley. So It's not so much on a personal basis or personal terms, but we have to make sure we're doing things properly.
Everyone you hear from on this says this is ridiculous, it's taking far too long. I always like to really try, if possible, to look at the other side. I feel like I'm running out of reasons to sort of defend it though at the moment, the longer it goes on, because I'm not hearing anyone who's anything other than annoyed about it. You understand it, Mark Guidi?
Oh yeah, you can understand why the Hearts supporters would be annoyed, because you know they've lost a couple of games heavily. They beat St Mirren, they might win tonight. They'll probably look across the city and see Jack Ross has come in, given Hibs a bounce, a couple of good results, albeit it was disappointing on Saturday at home to Kilmarnock. But to try and defend and budge and having a bit of an insight into the situation, that what's going on or what has gone on, she's quite right to take her time. You know, if she wanted to go and appoint somebody, she could have appointed somebody within an hour. You know, she probably did 20 applicants within an hour of sacking Craig Levein, but she decided to take her time, make it right, because this might be her last managerial appointment before she hands the club over. She wants to give herself the best chance of being successful for the next 6 months before she does, etc, etc. And if she's had to just check and double check and triple check that Daniel Stendel is the right man for the job, then I don't blame her for that. If she didn't believe it and it's taken an extra couple of weeks to make up her mind, then so be it. You know, an extra couple of weeks, Gordon, in the grand scheme of things, to try and get things right for the next couple of seasons, I think it's the right thing to do.
You can understand that, Jim, but at the same time, if you do take Hibs as the example, what have they got? Seven points, and that, you know, come the end of the season, that could be the difference between a decent season and not. So how much longer can Anne Budge risk?
Well, she can't risk that much longer, you know, because you know, they've been poor the last couple of games, 3-0, 5-0. You know, they just look all over the place. So they need some leadership and need some guidance. So they have to get someone in very, very quickly. But, you know, like Mark says, I can understand the longer term aspect of it. You want to try and get the right person in, but there's no guarantee that'll be successful. How many managers have we seen get in with 3 and 4 year contracts? They're lucky if they last a year. So the most important thing is to get the right person in. But I do agree with it, that it's not as simple as we want this guy, he's got a contract, let's go, because by all accounts, I mean, we don't know everything, but he could be in garden leave, he could be getting paid. So there is a financial aspect of it that Barnsley might be saying, listen, contractually we're entitled to some compensation, and unless we get it, we're not going to release Daniel Stendel. Taking that aside, if that gets going, it's still a bit of a risk. I mean, it's a guy who doesn't know anything about Scottish football. He's had a relatively short time in the British game, a mixed level of success. So it is a big risk, I think, to bring someone like that in who doesn't know the players, who doesn't know the Scottish game, and it's slap bang in the middle of a very difficult season.
I take your point, Mark, about potentially sort of, you know, short term pain for long term gain, so to speak. But can you imagine the reaction at Tynecastle tonight if they lose that game to Livingston? And again, it might just be something that Anne Budge has to grin and bear it, but you just get the feeling the Hearts fans are in such a place at the moment that would be met with the unbelievable levels of anger and frustration.
Well, it's one of the ones where, you know, the only consolation we take is, well, I'm going to wheel the new guy out tomorrow, and all of a sudden the narrative changes, because it's all about moving forward under a new guy. It could well be as well, in terms, as you said, the guy's weekly wage will have been agreed. More importantly, for managers going in now, his exit plan will be agreed if it all goes pear-shaped, which is the first thing that they actually look at, more than what they earn per week. And then it would be, if, you know, say for example, Barnsley are looking for 250 grand and Anne Brunge is trying to get him for 100 grand in the extra couple of days, are to and fro, and if she's saving the club a six figure sum, then again, in her role, she's thinking, well, for the sake of one game, we might save 100 grand. That goes into the manager's budget in January. Then again, I would back her on that.
The Hearts team tonight, if you're interested, is Lamal in goal. I'll try and do this at a glance, which could fall apart drastically. It looks like a back four of Smith, Berra, Halkett and Hickey. A midfield three of Clare, Whelan and De Moor, with Walker and Mulroney supporting Stephen Naismith potentially as the striker in that one. So significantly is the change in goal, as Lamal has been brought in following Pereira's. He's on the bench, sorry. But after that performance at Ibrox on Sunday by Joe Pereira, it's not exactly surprising.
And it wasn't just Sunday, Gordon. It's been a few games now, and you know, he's been lucky to survive. But that's one thing that Daniel Stendel will need to address. I think it was an Achilles heel for Craig Levein for a couple of years as well. And I've pointed it many times. You look at clubs that get relegated in this league, and over the piece, you look at a big weak link and it's a goalkeeper, and that's certainly been the case for Hearts this season. They must get a good goalkeeper in January.
Yeah, I mean, again, as I said, getting players fit, getting a bit of consistency, getting a style to play. I think a lot of Hearts fans are a bit frustrated. One time it's, you know, it's getting that long ball up to Piezu and playing off him. Other time it's trying to play with two wingers and try and play through the zones. Again, keeping key players fit. But I think, yeah, goalkeepers, anybody that knows me, even players that work with me, know that I get a bit frustrated with goalkeepers. But they are so, so important, and that's the reason why they can make such a difference to your team. You look at, you know, Rangers this year, Alan McGregor, I mean, the last couple of years, unbelievable. Celtic, people say Neil Lennon, what does he need? First thing he does, get Fraser Foster in, top class goalkeeper. So listen, it makes a huge difference. We mentioned earlier on Joe Lewis, the top goalie up at Aberdeen. You know, I mean, he's kept them in the hunt of being at the top in the top group.
You look at what, I mean, just
Derek McInnes said he's worth 12 points a season at the weekend.
And Derek McInnes is pretty much always a good game. Right back to when he get the Darren Morden on loan from Liverpool. Just to go down the road, you look at West Ham, top eight. All of a sudden Fabianski gets injured, they bring in that, I don't like using the word, but he's a dud, Roberto, and all of a sudden they're bottom six.
01419511025 in the phones at Clyde SSB on Twitter. Let's go back and speak to a man who's a Celtic fan in Govan Hill. Hi, Aman.
How you doing, all right?
Not too bad. What's on your mind?
Yeah, it's just about the striker situation at Celtic Park. But before I say that, can I say, you know, I've not phoned up for a long time, and I'm glad you're back on. And Hugh Keeman's birthday, I missed it. Oh, I know you said don't say it again, but because I've not been on, all right?
Don't worry, I'll pass it on to him.
Okay, and yourself, I'm glad you're back to your good health.
Oh, I'm back, fighting fit, thank you.
Because there's all a bit of banter, isn't it? But what I'm saying is, do you think Celtic should have made sure they should have had a striker by now? I mean, that's, I know Edward's fit, it's all, you know, games and that, but tonight, it's a potential danger. I think we will win, but still, we should have a top striker. If we don't, then do you think January, we must buy a striker if Rangers, and that's a big if, are still on our tailgoats. Or people goats, whatever you call it, I don't know.
What do you make of the Celtic striking picture, Jim?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, listen, if you've got young players and you bring Lewis Morgan in, you've got Mikey Johnson, you know, you're somewhere along the line, you have to decide whether they're better than the possible options. Over the years, Celtic have found some fantastic talent, but they've also wasted a fair bit of money in a lot of strikers. And then you've got other strikers who, you know, can come in, just doesn't quite fit, like Timo Pukki, we've mentioned him before, who can go somewhere else and look at a revelation. So I like Morgan. I think Morgan's a good player. I like Mikey Johnson. And I would, you know, I think it will be a position that he will look at to strengthen in January if one becomes available. But, you know, tell me where there's a top-class striker going about who will play second fiddle to Edward. You know, that's the other thing. You bring a guy in, you're not bringing him in. It's easier, not easy, but easier if you bring a number one striker in and you pay the big bucks for it. But it's not easy to find a top-class striker to supplement Edward.
I mean, Mark, looking at the team, not only tonight, but in the last few games, it tells anyone who is wondering that Lee Griffiths still has a bit to go, because he is Celtic's only fit and available recognised striker, and yet he's still not playing in a home game against Hamilton a couple of days out from a cup final. So that sort of tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah, it does. And you know, I'd said a long back in pre-season that I think Celtic should have gone out and got a striker in as backup, but not just as backup, to actually go and challenge Edward, because you couldn't rely on Lee Griffiths to come through his problems and be firing in all cylinders. I'm not saying that as a criticism of the guy, I'm saying that in defence of him. I think it would be unfair to put that level of expectation level on, and it's proven to be correct. I would disagree with Jim in terms of, well, I'd agree with him in terms of it's difficult to get a number nine in, because we've said before there's not a lot of number nines going on. But I think your selling point to bringing somebody in is that you've got to sell it as, come into the club, push Edward, get a feel for the club, and you will be a number one striker in the summer.
Because he
wants whatever we want to do, because Edward's going. It's going to come to a natural end for Edward, and Celtic will sell him for 20 million quid, or 22 or 24 or 18 or whatever it may be. But I think that's your selling point. And like I said before, yeah, you can make, sometimes I think you can make excuses, or January's a difficult window. But But for Celtic, it should be the most important window, because you want to bring as many talented players in as you can to give them a run at the club, rather than bringing them in with two or three days to go before they're playing an important European tie.
What about Bayo, do you think? Do you not think he's good enough?
I've not seen enough of him, Jim, but not if I'm talking about, if I'm talking about Bayo being a number one striker, because I'm looking longer term in terms of number one striker. Six months from now, is Bayo that guy? Absolutely not.
Man, what do you think of the team tonight? The likes of Frimpong goes onto the bench, Bauer comes in. Are there any clues there about how Celtic line up on Sunday?
On Sunday, I know you're going to say that, but I don't know. I don't know. I think Elian Yussi will be back. I know Edward will definitely be back. And on the, I know you that I would play that Frimpong. I would play him right away. But the thing he's talking about, the striker. Why not buy that boy for Aberdeen? Then yeah,
Cosgrove.
That's problem solved.
Cosgrove.
Yeah, he scored as many goals. I think he scored more than what's his name, Edward, and came as about Manila. So why not buy him? It's easy in January. You can. They've got the money. Why not spend it? Make sure you get 9 in a row, then 10 will come itself.
Yeah, I think it's a fair shout. I have to say that, man. You know, because Cosgrove, you look about and we're talking about number nines. He's an out and out number nine. He scored a terrific number of goals the last couple of years. He's a different type of option, you know. You know, target man striker, but knows the way at the back of the net. And yeah, he's certainly one that I think Celtic would be looking at. I mean, would it be cost 5 million, maybe somewhere around about that? But you know, again, I wouldn't rule that one out. Put that way, I think it's a good shout. I'm sure there are other options, and you know, obviously Celtic's new recruitment staff will be looking all around Europe. But I certainly think Sam Cosgrove will be on the list.
Man, thank you very much for the call. It's 01419511025. I'm going to get your full-time teaser up and running soon, so get your pen and paper ready. However, if you missed it earlier on, this is important. I know you're all going to want a piece of this. If you want your chance to win on the road to Wembley, all you need to do is text the word FINAL to 84901 before 5:45 on Saturday. If you're just tuning in and you're wondering what that is, well, it's an incredible prize we've got for you, with the added bonus of making a real difference to children right here on our doorstep at the same time. The Wembley FA Cup final in May next year, we've got the weekend all planned out for you. Fly you down to London after a champagne breakfast at 29 in Glasgow, two nights accommodation in a 5-star hotel in London's West End, two tickets to the FA Cup final, and we'll fly you back up the road as well. All thank you to James Mortimer, who very kindly donated the prize. If you want to be in with a chance of winning, go and text FINAL to 84901. The lines close at 5:45 on Saturday. Now, the text will cost your standard network rate plus a voluntary £5 donation. The good thing about that, though, 100% of that goes right to Cash for Kids to help disadvantaged children on our doorstep. So for the full T's and C's, go to Clyde1.com.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Getting you full compensation is their goal. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Full fixture card in the Scottish Premiership. Just before the break, a man called in looking at Celtic striking options, suggesting Sam Cosgrove. It's not the first time we've heard it. It probably won't be the last. But Max isn't convinced. He says Cosgrove isn't in the same league as Eduard Morelos, Griffith, etc. Remove all the penalties he takes and he's hardly on the big numbers. That's the opinion coming in at Clyde SSB. Let's look at tonight's teaser then. As always, if you want to hear your question on the show, the address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. fulltime@clyde1.com. Michael Donati has sent this one in, and Michael asks, can you name the last 11 players to score in an Old Firm League Cup final? I will think about telling you when that goes back to as we go on, see how generous we're feeling.
It's the League Cup final.
But at the moment, can you name the last 11 players to score in an Old Firm League Cup final?
Okay, I'll give you one. I think top of my head, Dan O'Dea.
Yes, 2008.
Alan McCoist.
No.
And Brian Laudrup.
Nope.
Gary Hooper.
No. Can you remember who else scored that day that Darren O'Dea scored?
Aidan McGeady.
Yes.
Kenny Miller.
No. Alright, we'll leave it there and we'll see
Chris
how you
Boyd.
Get. No. No. We'll see how you get on, and then I might tell you what sort of time frame we're looking at. But at the moment, you've got Darren O'Day and Aidan McGeady. Michael Donati asks, can you name the last 11 players to score in an Old Firm League Cup final? If you want to play along, you'll find us at Clyde SSB. So get your answers in on that one on Twitter. What else have we got? More fixtures that we haven't had the chance to touch on, really, but all important fixtures in their own right. What else is jumping out at you this evening? We've already looked at the two big ones involving Glasgow's two, St Mirren against Motherwell, Kilmarnock against St Johnstone. Just how much does Tommy Wright need a win?
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, lost heavily at the weekend, and, you know, they keep losing, you know, what you call basic goals, but soft goals as far as they're concerned. I know, keep highlighting, they've got the youngest defensive back four in the league, and also that his priority is to get an experienced defender in. But you need to try and, you know, stem the tide before, you know, still another 3-4 games to go before then. So I think it's important that Johnstone just hang in there till they manage to get a couple of players in January.
Mark, you watched St Johnstone at the weekend, and something we mentioned, it just shows you how important recruitment is. Remember how much they wanted Declan Gallagher, and they tried to get Declan Gallagher, who came up against them for Motherwell at the weekend, and it sort of shows what St Johnstone are lacking.
They're needing a warrior, if that makes sense.
You know, the guys they used to have.
Yeah, just what do you call it, an old fashioned centre half that is just going to let the centre forward know that he's in a game and just knows how to defend, get the experience, can position himself properly, and can talk the other boys through it as well. The other thing I'd say too, although not so much recently, past couple of games, I think he's pulled off a few good saves. But again, go back to the point, I think, you know, that Xander Clark hasn't been pulling off the saves that he was pulling off last season when St Johnstone were going well on there. For that's why they've maybe lost out on a couple of points that would make a difference. But you say there, how badly does Tommy Wright need a win? Even just a point, Gordon. Just something. If you go away from home tonight,
yeah, that's a tough fixture, isn't it?
I think Tommy Wright would take a point all day long. That would go and give them something to build on.
And now the Jack Ross journey. It started off very well. 6 points. Looked like it was going to be nine. Sucker punched against Kilmarnock at the weekend. Now the long journey to Dingwall on a Wednesday night.
Yeah, I mean, it's always a testing journey in midweek. Obviously, I was up at the Ross County Celtic game, but Celtic were just far too good for Ross County, and it's hard to kind of judge them on that level, because you know, there was a whole different level that Celtic played at. But you know, I look at Ross County and I still think that they're fighting hard for each other. I think Michael Gardner, I know it's maybe tactically not playing, but I think he's such an important player. He gives them so much creativity in the final third, and I think he's badly missed when he doesn't play. So I think he'll probably come back in. But in terms of Jack getting up there with Hibernian, yeah, I don't think there's any problem scoring goals. I don't think that's been the problem even when Paul Higginbottom was there. But it's keeping the back door locked. And did I read somewhere recently that David Gray and Darren McGregor's back?
McGregor played
again
and scored, actually, from the reserves the other day. Yeah.
So I think maybe if McGregor get back, particularly getting back into that central defence, I think that would definitely shore him up. And then I think in January, I think Jack will do similar to what he done at St Mirren. I think he'll bring in 3 or 4 players to try and make sure they stay in that top six.
A couple of games last night, of course, in the Championship. Ayr United 0, Dunfermline 1. And in the Scottish Cup third round, Morton winning up there in Brora. Brora 1, Morton 3. A club you obviously know well, Jim. And when you've drawn the home tie, there's obviously the natural fear that sets in. But fair play, they've avoided that, because that would have been a real shock.
Oh well, I mean, listen, going up, I'm sure there was a bit of nerves there from everyone connected with the club, but they managed to get the job done, because you get up to Brora. Actually, I took Morton up there about three or four seasons ago, pre-season, and you know, it was difficult, and that was in a lovely sunny, you know, best of pitch day. So get up there, and you know, early December, you know, and you know, coming away with a 3-1 victory, a terrific result for Davey and the team, and that'll maybe give him a bit of confidence. Something maybe, again, it's like a lot of teams, it's consistency they're looking for on their day. They can be very good, but they need to find that consistency.
Obviously, we don't give much focus to the English Premier League, but I was just interested, Mark, that you were down at the weekend. You were down at the Man United Aston Villa game, keeping it. Was it scouting mission for John McGinn? Just tell Stevie Clark how he's doing ahead of the big games coming up.
Yeah, it was a terrific game. Enjoyed it, and you know, one thing I certainly took from it when we looked at the Aston Villa centre forward Wesley, the guy they brought in for I think just a touch over 20 million quid, and speaking to people down there, all the different scouts and people involved at Man United and Aston Villa, there is no doubt, as we all know, but sometimes you just need things confirmed, is that Morelos and Edward are absolutely on the radar of clubs down south. And when I looked at the money, and albeit it's just one performance against Man United, but again, speaking to some people at the game, if Villa are paying that kind of money for a talent such as Wesley, and that's what the going rate is for that kind of standard, then for me, Edward and Morelos are way ahead of that, way ahead of it.
Of course, we're going to get back very soon to the big action tonight. Just something that caught my eye today, Jim, and worried me, just because that's the Scottish reaction, is that VAR will be used in these Nations League finals. And it just got me thinking, just when you think you've seen all the different types of heartbreak for Scotland over the years, there's just a new one. You've seen us being hopeless, yes, which is fine. You've seen the hard luck stories. You've seen the refereeing decisions. You've seen other results and groups going against us. I just hope we don't need to add VAR to the list.
Yeah, I think we need to say to the other players, listen, get your toenails cut, you know, your fringe cut, whatever, you know, I mean, make sure that, because if there's any team going to be done by a dotted line from the armpit down, it's going to be Scotland.
Shame your Oaksters.
Yeah.
Think positive, it might go in our favour. Davies and Pollock. Hi, Davey.
Hi, lads, how you doing?
Good, thanks, Davey.
Just a point, I think Stephen Gerrard's a wee bit predictable with his teams every week. And I think if I was Stephen Gerrard, I've run teams all my life, okay, different levels. I would change my tactics, and I would have Barasic and Tavernier going forward 24-7 as two wing-backs at Celtic, because that's for Celtic. What a big danger to Rangers. And I would put Edmondson in the back four. Edmondson, Goldson and Alanda in the back, two, three centre-backs to cover up their strength, even at corner kicks and everything. They score a lot of goals for set pieces. What's your thoughts?
That all sounds pretty good, Davey. I'm just wondering who misses out then, because obviously somebody needs to miss out further forward. So which one of the midfielders are you sitting out?
I'd miss out Aribo, because I believe if you watch your games, and I watch all the games, not even with Rangers games, but every game, I'm a Liverpool fan. If you watch Aribo goes back and takes the ball off his centre-half, and he plays a short pass and he takes it back, and then he plays a forward pass and he takes it back, and then he plays it back to his centre-half. To me, you've got to go forward if you're a constructive player he's supposed to be. You've got to open up gaps and you do opposition, and he doesn't do that for me.
I like a curveball as much as the next guy, Davey, but realistically, what are the chances that George Edmondson comes from absolutely nowhere and starts a cup final against Celtic at Hampden?
Well, I think, to be honest with you, I don't go to see Rangers on a Saturday. I go down to Liverpool and I go and watch my team. But I'm just saying, my brother's a season ticket holder, and he said George Edmondson is a phenomenal player. He's phenomenal. He should be in the team every week. And to me, so should Katic. I mean, Katic's done nothing wrong. I think I heard all the lads that's in there, maybe not tonight, but on the programme, the pundits in there were saying that he'd been the most improved player all this year. He's been unbelievable, and then all of a sudden he didn't play. Where does that come from? I can't understand that at all. But if somebody plays well, it's called competition for places.
What do you think, guys?
Yeah, I mean, there's two ways of looking at it. There's consistency, and Rangers have been very consistent this year. So they're winning the vast majority of their games. They're playing well, they're playing with confidence. So why would you change it too much? And then there's the point that Davey made. Yeah, I mean, sometimes you can throw a different system in if you think tactically that might give you an advantage over the opposition. And, you know, the points he made about bringing a third centre-back in, yeah, I mean, again, but it doesn't seem to be something that Steven Gerrard is wanting to do this year. He'd done it a couple of times last year, but I don't think he'll do it, and I certainly don't think he'll do it this weekend. But I haven't seen Edmondson enough, I have to say that.
He does get good reviews, yeah, though, doesn't he from inside
he does,
Rangers,
from
it must
fans
be said.
And when he has come in, you know, but I personally haven't seen enough, so I couldn't say that one, or whether Katic comes in as a three. But certainly, Tavernier and Barisic going as wing-backs, yeah, because they're very good going forward, both of them. And it still gives you the three in the middle of the pitch, and you could then play Kent off Morelos. So, yeah, I mean, it is certainly an option that Rangers have now, but I don't see it happening at the weekend. But again, you know, whether you change it just because, you know, there's a lot of teams, listen, your own team, Davey, Liverpool, play 4-3-3. And I know at times, if he's struggling, he puts an extra forward on, he almost goes 4-2-4. But generally speaking, over the last couple of years, Mane, Firmino, Salah is your three, and your three centre midfield players with Fabinho sitting in between the other two, and a back four with Trent Alexander and Andy Robertson getting forward. But it's 4-3-3, and it seems to be quite successful. So you don't always have to change it. If it works, if it ain't broke, why fix it?
You just wonder, Mark, if Steven Gerrard has learned from the fact that he did try to experiment in the first Celtic game. If you like, yeah. No one expected that team, and it kind of backfired. So I'm not sure we'll see many surprises on Sunday.
No, I mean, I don't think you completely change your formation and put everything you work in, as you say, that's brought you a lot of success this season, you know. And managers like to work on things before it. And the problem is, we're playing so many games, you know, constantly. You know, Saturday, Wednesday, or Thursday, Sunday, whatever it is, you're not getting really a chance to go and kind of experiment in training either. But one thing I would say, Edmondson, I think he's a good player, and what I've heard, he's a good player, but to use the word phenomenal, if he's phenomenal, he'd be playing every week for Rangers.
Good point, so Davey, got the guys debating. Thank you for the call. What about the teaser, the last 11 players to score in an Old Firm League Cup final? You've got McGeady and O'Dea.
Pierre Van Hooydonk?
Nope.
I'm struggling to
Bert Quantumann?
Nope.
Fernando Rixon?
Nope.
Frank or Ronald de Boer?
Nope. Right, there's a safe one in here. Think about it. Over that period.
Ken McLarson?
Yes.
that's the safe one.
That's the safe one. Okay, I'll give you a clue. We're going back to 1990. That's the furthest back that we're going, okay? I'll give you some thinking time. Kickoffs are coming next. We'll go back to Pittodrie and Celtic Park after these.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. They play to win every time. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Kickoff fast approaching. Let's get a recap from Celtic Park with Alison.
As the teams come out of the tunnel here at Celtic Park, it will be Fraser Forster in goal for Celtic, a back four of Bauer, Beaton, Ayer and Taylor. Then it'll be Brown and McGregor sitting with the three of Christie, Cham and Forrest Morgan as the lone striker. On the bench, Gordon, Julian, Griffiths, Sinclair, Rogic, Johnson and Frimpong. For Hamilton Accies, Luke Southwoods in goal, a back four of McGowan, Stubbs, Easton and McMahon. In the midfield, Collar, Gogic, Martin and Miller, with Smith in behind the lone striker of Moyo. On the bench for Accies tonight, Fawn Williams, Huntley, Oakley, Cunningham, Beck, Hamilton and Ogpo. And your referee at Celtic Park is Alan Muir.
And what about Aberdeen against Rangers at Pittodrie, Dave Galloway?
Teams are out here as well, Gordon. Rangers make two changes, John Flanagan and Ryan Jack in for Borna Barisic and Glenn Kamara. It's Alan McGregor in goals across the back, James Tavernier, Connor Goldson, Philip Halland and John Flanagan. Midfield, Joe Aribo, Stephen Davis and Ryan Jack. Up front, Scott Arfield, Alfredo Morelos and Ryan Kent. Substitutes, Fodringham, Defoe, Ojo, Halliday, Kamara, Katic and Stewart. Three changes for Aberdeen, Logan Taylor and Wilson in for Campbell, Hedges and McGinn. So it's Joe Lewis in goal, Shea Logan, Scott McKenna, Ash Taylor and Andy Considine at the back. Looks like a midfield five for Aberdeen. James Wilson, Zach Viner, John Gallagher, Lewis Ferguson and Greg Lee. Up top, the lone striker Sam Cosgrove. Substitutes, Cherney, Devlin, Campbell, McLennan, Anderson, Hedges and Main. And your match referee here at Pittodrie Stadium, John Beaton.
What a night we've got in store. How do you see that one going at Pittodrie, Mark Guidi?
I'm going to go for Aberdeen 0, Rangers 2.
Jim Duffy?
Yeah, I'm going to go for 2-1 Rangers. I think the Rangers have got, certainly with Morelos and Kent, I think, you know, top end of the pitch will give Aberdeen a lot of problems. And Aberdeen have went to stifle Rangers in the midfield, so it'll be interesting to see how they go with that. The last time we tried it up at Celtic, against Celtic, it didn't work.
You're surprised to see that. Zach Viner and Greg Lee, not really midfielders. Derek McInnes played them in midfield against Motherwell and it worked. So the following week he tried it against Celtic and they got ripped apart. But they're both in midfield tonight. I'm thinking back to that tweet we had from an unhappy Aberdeen fan. Are you surprised at that?
Well, no, I think that's the Aberdeen fan thought, well, yeah, they're going to try and defend it, and I think that's exactly what it is. But I think, again, that's either maybe they're giving Rangers too much respect, I'm not sure, but because, you know, that Pittodrie, and I think the Aberdeen fans expect, no matter who comes there, to take the game to the opposition.
That'll set the tone nice and early with 15 seconds gone. Andy Considine sticks his arm across James Tavernier's face as he tries to go down the right hand side. And we have our first free kick of the evening. What about Celtic Hamilton?
3-0 Celtic.
I think it depends just on the desire of Celtic, but I would expect Celtic to win maybe 4-0.
You don't need to give me detailed predictions of all the other games, just a couple of thoughts? What's swirling around in
there? Two, St Johnstone one, St Mirren one.
Oh, he's giving me detailed predictions.
Three and Hearts two, Livingston one.
You can be a lot more general, Jim, if you want.
I just think Hearts and Livy could be a draw. I think Livy are, again, they're not winning a lot of matches, but they're not giving much away, so I can see that being a draw. I think Ross County and Hibs again, I think that one could be a draw.
Yeah, I go, I'll give you that, Jim.
I tell you what,
I think St Mirren might just cause a surprise and Nick beat Motherwell.
Real heavy challenge from Sam Cosgrove and Stephen Davis already, yeah, as well. Possibly lucky to escape a card inside 90 seconds.
Yeah. Aberdeen have set the tone. You can in terms of that, they ain't going to lie down. That they're up for it as they always are, particularly at Pittodrie. But I think Considine could easily have had a yellow card in the opening 20 seconds, and Cosgrove too, but referee John Beaton's decided not to bring the cards out early.
I don't agree with that. I don't care if it's the first 10 seconds or the last 10 seconds. If you give away a foul that deserves a yellow card, then you should get a yellow card, and certainly that one for Cosgrove was a yellow card.
Right, what about tonight's teaser? Michael Donati sent it in. He says, can you name the last 11 players to score in an Old Firm League Cup final? I've since given you a bit more information that we're going back to 1990. So you've got McGeady, O'Dea and Larson.
Well, the 1990 final, I remember it was Rangers 2, Celtic 1. And I know two of the goal scorers, Richard Goff and Paul Elliott.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the third one at the moment.
No, well, I mean, the only one I come up with earlier on, and I don't know which cup final it is, but there's, sorry, a fan throwing something on it to James Tavernier. He's taking a throw in a game, which is just outrageous. So was Peter Livingkrantz?
Yes.
So I know he was one. Who was the other one we said, Matt, in the break?
Joe Ledley for Celtic. Yep. And Steve Davis for Rangers.
Good, we're getting there. You've only got three to get. Some good efforts coming in on Twitter, I must say. Colin Moffat has got one that you don't yet have. Charles Johnson, just to help you, he's gone Nacho Novo, but that's wrong. Hugh Moan, Token Jester, I've got a couple. I Need Your Mikey might just have cleaned up with the rest of them. So some good ones coming in. Lock Tom says, I've got a teaser for you. When was the last time you mentioned Morton in a positive way? Absolutely no mention of the cup win last night. That is the worst teaser I've ever heard, Lock Tom, because we mentioned it about 10 minutes ago. But I must admit, to be fair, I'm looking at the time. Maybe it was sent just before, so maybe just a misunderstanding. Let's speak to Graham in Irvine. Hi, Graham.
How are you doing, Morning?
Not too bad. How are you?
Jim and Rock, all right?
Hi, Graham.
The importance of Rangers getting into the night, just finishing, hopefully in the same points as Celtic at the end of the night. That's not better, but a wee sneaky shot, but I can't see it myself.
Is that going to take a win then, Graham? Would you expect Celtic to win and therefore Rangers need to do the same?
No, I think Celtic will win quite comfortably. Possibly the goals are going to come into it at the end of the season, but I don't think that really matters tonight for Rangers. I'd take a 1-0 off the backside win in the last minute. The night's not about all the night about goals, it's about 3 points tonight. That's what it is. And you've seen me the start there with big Cosgrove. It's just going to be a battle, that's what it's going to be.
And getting through unscathed, I would imagine, as well, Jim, because the start to this game's been quite physical, to say.
I mean, I get, you know, you want to get in their face and stuff like that, but I mean, we've just seen a game within 4 minutes. I think there's been three unnecessary fouls by Aberdeen trying to rile Rangers, really trying to put them out of their rhythm and maybe get them, you know, frustrated and lose concentration and possibly discipline. But you know, they still have to get the ball. They haven't hardly the touch of the ball in the first four or five minutes. Rangers have dominated the ball, but it's going to be competitive. Up at Pretoria, I don't think Rangers expect any less, but it's got to be within the rules. Yeah. I think it's all about winning the game. I think you're right. I think that the performance is always, you always want to keep a top level performance, but winning the match, getting 3 points is just vital.
I do think it's important to get into the weekend in the cup final. If you'd have taken me for those points tonight and getting to the cup final, it's possibly gives you other team the upper hand. But Sunday will take care of itself, I think. So,
are you happy enough to see the likes of, you know, Barisic? Is that just a rest for him, Graham? A rest for Kamara? Is that the way you see it? Do they two come back in on Sunday?
Maybe no Kamara, but I'm happy Barisic has been rested. Mm-hmm. The one that I can't get my head around is, I still can't get Hollander. I can't get how Katic has been dropped for Hollander. I just can't get my head around it at all.
A lot of people say that, Jim, but it's strange because statistically Rangers are not conceding many goals, so you can't argue. But no. I would respect anyone who watches as much as Graham does and looks at individual moments within games and maybe thinks there's room for improvement.
Yeah, I mean, Graham, it's like a lot of Rangers fans we've had, you know, on the programme, you know, saying like, you know, with the light Katic and they feel he was maybe a bit unlucky to lose his place. But, you know, since Hollander's went in, I actually think, you know, it's been a good partnership with Goldson. And again, it's just the choice of the manager. He's given the nod to Hollander. He gives him a bit of balance on the left-hand side. And he is.
And that's probably the most important thing, Jim, is the balance, isn't it? Giving him that balance.
Yeah, and I think maybe I keep saying it's a partnership. He thinks it's a better partnership. Individually, I think Katic is every bit as good as a defender. But I think as a partnership, he just seems to suit Goldson a little bit better.
All right, Graham, thank you very much for the call. Stay in touch with us over the coming days. Let us know how you're feeling ahead of the cup final. 01419511025 if you want to take that number down. Rangers have had a corner cleared. Aberdeen managed to rack up 5 fouls within the first 5 minutes. Does that give you a bit of a clue as to the way this game might go?
Rangers have started well. They're on the front foot. They've had most of the play in the final third. Tavernier bombing forward, linking up well. Rangers really in control of the game. That said, Lewis hasn't had a save to make yet, but Rangers have started the game very well.
There are two ways of looking at it, Jim, because you can't really condone fouling. It's against the rules. That's the whole point. You'll get a free kick given against you. You might get a yellow card, you might get a red card. But at the same time, Aberdeen were just far too passive against Celtic. Yeah. Got passed off the pitch and were 4-0 down before half time. So like I say, I'm not saying you would encourage players to go out and kick opposition. Of course not. But it's not difficult to understand why.
No, but they took a lot of criticism from their own supporters. Derek McInnes got a fair bit of criticism as well. So he's obviously wanting to make sure that that doesn't happen. The one thing he wants of his team is total commitment. But as I said, but there's a line you can't cross. And I think eventually what happens is the referee will book the next player because it's just a combination. It's not always a worst foul. But, you know, again, you know, Rangers, as I said, you just get a little bit frustrated and they have to make sure that they stick to their game plan, which is to get the ball down and pass. But we have been watching it a little bit in the background, and Aberdeen, when Rangers have the ball, everybody back behind the ball, making it very difficult to find space and also being very competitive.
You can't take your eyes off Sam Cosgrove. He has committed 3 fouls already. He's had one against them, and he, you just get the feeling he's going to be well involved. Not to forget that he got sent off against Rangers previously. Yeah. And actually it was that moment from then on where he really kick-started his Aberdeen career and has scored a barrel load since. So we'll keep an eye on him. Right, what about tonight's teaser? There are no other goals to tell you about yet. Can you name the last 11 players to score in Old Firm League Cup finals? It goes
Barry
back
Robson.
To 1990. No, I'll just remind you of what you've got so far. Richard Gough, Paul Elliott, Peter Lovenkrantz, Henrik Larsson, Darren Addy, Aidan McGeady, Joe Ledley, Steve Davis.
When was the last one, the most recent one?
2011
would have been
most recent
Neil
one.
Lennon against Walter Smith.
So you've got Ledley and Davis from that game.
Right.
But who else?
I'm trying to think who won it. Did Rangers win it?
I'm thinking about it. I don't think he was that. I mean, is it 2000? Claudio Caniggia?
You've stumbled across a right answer. You've given me the wrong working wrong, but it's fine. I'll accept that. He did it in 2003.
Right, so I've got one for 1990 and one for
2011. There is one in 2011 you've still to get, yeah.
All right.
If Rangers won it, who would be the more typical Rangers goal scorer back then? 2011.
That's
what I thought. Chris Boyd, but it's
Chris Boyd, Kenny Miller.
In fact, it came up last night because we asked the question, Alfredo Morelos is Rangers' best striker since who? And a lot of people said this guy.
Since Negri.
No. Even down the road, Everton. He's Croatian. Quickly,
Jelovic.
Jelovic. And the 1991, he was a kind of winger. I think played for Liverpool.
Mark Walters.
Alfredo Morelos has a shot saved. No goals to tell you about in any of the other matches. Thanks to Jim and Mark. It's going to be a breathless night. We'll react to it all tomorrow in the company of Mark Wilson and Gordon DL. Please join us. Callum Gallagher is up next. Stay right there.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation you deserve. When there's been foul play, talk to Thompson's.com.